What I'd like to do with the time remaining is just give about another 5 minutes to finish off some of the things that happened at the third national conference, and then I'd like to break you up into groups for 15 minutes, and there's two questions I'd like to, based on the presentation this morning, to be able to ponder, because there's questions to which there are no answers, but I like the wisdom of this group, and I suspect that from your wisdom, it would be interesting to hear your feedback. And then I'd like to leave 15 minutes for questions and answers. Okay. All right, let me just finish quickly. First conference, the first general session on the religion and spirituality among the IEC members, the focus of this session was on the prophetic nature of the spiritualities of IECs and how that spirituality is impacting the institution, the church. So we're just, they're beginning to just look at that. There's no conclusive evidence or anything, but it's just something that they're looking at, the prophetic nature and how it is impacting the institutional church. The second was on women in ministry. Two Roman Catholic women priests were invited to share their stories. And this session focused on roles that women have historically and traditionally performed in the church and are presently achieving, and viewed the issues of women in ministry from both scriptural and theological perspective, as well as from the perspective of the Christian experience in contemporary society. I hope you're getting from my presentation and from even this short synopsis of what happened that people in the Roman Catholic women priests are not angry women. This is not about being angry and revolting, and this is about finding a way. This is about saying, let's start a movement, let's do this, and let us see how it will impact the church in time. Then at the social justice, they look at the local, national, and international levels. They look at how an ICC community practices or even tries to address social justice issues that may range from internal matters, such as the use of inclusive language, choice of music, etc., to volunteering in soup kitchens, to larger church issues as women priests, married priests, and governors. And then I just want to share with you a story that I truly love. I'm trying to think if it was D'Antonio, but I don't think so. I think it's the woman who did the research. Anyhow, at the closing session was on young Catholics and the future. It was Robert McCord, The Futures of IEC. And a conversation that one of the main speakers, Robert McCord, recounted with a young congregant who told him that he and his family came quite a distance to attend the Eucharistic service. Before he asked if he was a Protestant or a Catholic, the young man laughed and responded, "What you must understand is that the Protestants and Catholics went their separate ways 400 years ago, and now we, their descendants, are coming back together again. Isn't that all right?" So I think, you know, when we talk about where are our youth and what's happening to our youth, I think we need to remember that story. Now, the biggest challenge facing IECs today is, where do they stand vis-a-vis the institutional church? Michelle Dillon is a sociologist at the University of New Hampshire. And she reports from surveys taken that the group profile holds very few surprises. They are mostly Vatican II, from the pre-Vatican II generation, and more women than men. Highly educated and have a very strong Catholic background, thanks in part to the training of the sisters. In comparison with other groups, they are very similar to the profiles of members of reform groups, such as Call to Action, Voice of the Faithful, and Corpus. Like other Americans who are disaffiliating with a particular denomination in search of a broader spirituality. But Dillon says, "I think, my point is that the institutional church needs you. You may not need the institutional church as much as the institutional church needs you, but you are part of it, whether you like it or not. She urged community members to retain attachment to the larger church, a notion that was dismissed by some in the audience who recounted painful experiences with the church. Dylan went on to say, "If I may chide you, you all emphasize Vatican II, but sometimes you act as if you are not the people that are part of that church." While the plea to stay connected to the larger church was made forcefully in several presentations and in smaller group discussions, exactly how to do that was not formally addressed in any way. Many communities maintain connections with the institution because they have priests who regularly preside at Eucharistic celebrations. In other cases, members remain active in social outreach and other work of parishes and dioceses. And yet, in other cases, people retain membership in a formal parish as well as in a small Christian community. It is called double dipping. Some, however, see liberation from what they view as overbearing rules and authority as the end in itself and see little need to continue connection with the larger church. So now it's time for you to express what you think and what you feel. So the two questions I would like for you to form groups of about six, turn your peers around, are: should intentional Eucharistic communities stay connected to the larger church, and if so, how? And then comment on Michelle Dillon's statement. I think my point is that the institutional church needs you. You may not need the institutional church as much as they need you, but you are a part of it, whether you like it or not. So take about 15 minutes. We'll come back at 11:45, and then we'll have time for some feedback, questions, and answers.